Good morning, everybody. Let's take this opportunity. We'll dismiss our kids to Revolution Kids Church. You know, as our kids are heading up to learn and grow in their faith, it is amazing to me as somebody who grew up in the Great White North, and I was discussing that with one of my other Great White Northerners this morning, how half an inch of snow shuts this town down. Holy moly. But I'm glad everybody's here this morning, and I hope your last evening went okay. I know it took Luke and I about an hour and a half to get home from his practice last night, and I thought, my goodness, this is crazy. It's time to plant a church in Florida or something. I don't know. Now, I'm glad you're here, and we are looking at Matthew chapter 11 this morning. Here we go. Let's read it with some chutzpah. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Awesome. Throughout this season of Advent, we have been learning that Advent is bigger than Jesus' birth. It is also very much about his return. Our English word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which literally means coming. And so we celebrate the coming of Christ world at his birth. We also celebrate the return of Christ into the world, and that's why in the midst of this Christmas season, we're praying, "Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." Yes. It's time. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Hey, yes. And I loved what Ashley and Matt have been sharing with us thus far, that it's not about knowing when, but about being ready for Jesus' return and about preparing the way. I mean, this is the work we're supposed to do all the time in our Christian life. John was the preparer of the way. We learned a little bit about this last week, and today we find him near the end of his life in prison, which is not a great spot to be. I want you to picture this for a minute. We're talking about a guy who lived this amazing life. I mean, if you wear a garment of camel hair, you have to live an amazing life. You have to have some serious self-confidence in your calling from God to wear a camel hair garment and then eat locusts and honey all day long. This guy was self-assured in who God created him to be, and he lived out his calling with clarity and perfection. I mean, here's a guy who goes out into the wilderness. He's calling people to repent. He stands up against world leaders. He doesn't really care. He's just there to live for God. And you know what? His ministry was a success in so many different ways. Baptism upon baptism, societal transformation, people coming out to the desert of all places to be baptized for repentance for the coming of God's kingdom. And a short time later, there he is in prison because of a king who listens to a lady who says, "Hey, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter." I mean, we just have to go, what? You know, if you live into God's purposes and you fulfill them, everything's supposed to work out wonderfully. Everything's supposed to be okay. You're God's person. There's never going to be a single hair on your head that has come to be harmed. No. No. I mean, not long after we read the scripture today, the obituary would read that John died due to a wacko king who wanted to please an exotic dancer. That's exactly what it was. I mean, are you serious? The guy who lives for God, that's his obituary? That makes no sense at all. That's crazy. He went from changing the world to being stuck in prison. And he had to have wondered, Jesus, what do you have in mind? And more importantly, are you the one that we should expect, or have been expecting, I should say, or should somebody else be expected? Are you the one, Jesus? Are you the one? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? This is the question that his disciples, John's disciples, had for Jesus. But I think behind it is really a question about himself. And for the first time, this self-assured guy who could wear a camel hair garment must have been asking as he's staring down the end of his life, did I matter? Did I matter? I mean, was this worth it, or was it all in vain? Did I matter? Did I do what God had called me to do, or did I bobble along the way at some point? Have I missed it? Is that why I'm here? See, John baptized Jesus, and I'm sure he believed he was the Messiah. He knew he was preparing the way, and yet there he sits in prison. Did I matter? Where's the payoff? And if anything, if God can do anything, if nothing is too difficult for God, I mean, this is straight from Scripture. If nothing is too difficult for God, then God, why don't you get me out of this prison and take care of that wacko Herod? I mean, God can do that, right? That easy. God, why don't you get me out of this mess? How many of you remember the famous astronaut John Glenn? Good. How many of you remember Katherine Johnson? Yeah, you know, without their Katherine Johnson, there is no John Glenn. I want to show you the short clip from the movie Hidden Figures. If you haven't seen it, I really want to encourage you to go check it out. But let's watch this. Now, the interesting thing about the movie is this. Katherine Johnson actually did the calculations to get John Glenn into orbit. Then because of a policy shift, they send Katherine Johnson about a mile away into some back building that nobody even knows about, a prison, if it were. And before John Glenn's ready to go into space, who does he want? Katherine Johnson to do the calculations. She had to have felt like, man, I've been totally forgotten. Did I matter? And yet in the end, while John Glenn is remembered as the pioneer, Katherine Johnson is really the one who put him into space. You know, we all have these moments in our life where the rat race stops and we're alone and we reflect upon the passing of time in our short lives and we wonder, do I matter? Do I matter? And the beautiful thing is God shows us, whether we want to talk about Katherine Johnson and John Glenn or John the Baptist and Jesus, that yes, the answer is yes, we all matter. We all matter to God. We all have a role to play. And sometimes when our role ends up in a place that we don't want it to be, it doesn't necessarily mean that we find ourselves outside of God's purposes or plan. But this is what John is wondering. Do I matter? When will I get out of here? Look at what the scriptures say to us this morning. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Had to be difficult to be John, sitting in prison. He couldn't hear or see what was happening in the outside world. Lots of secondhand information. He's hoping Jesus is the Messiah, but he's wondering if it's true. And Jesus gives John a very simple word. He says, go back. Key word is right here. And report to John what you hear and see. We get that word all the time in Scripture. I mean, it's almost so common that we would go, whatever, make a report. But when Jesus says make a report, give a report, it's a command. And the kind of report that Jesus has in mind is the same kind of report that angels and messengers and kings and prophets and God himself gives to the people. It's a report for everybody to hear to know something about good news. How many know that you could use some good news when you're sitting in prison? Yeah. I mean, this kind of report is the same kind of report that's given on Easter Sunday morning. Go make a report. Go tell John. Let him know. Spread the word. I'm the Messiah. You've prepared the way well. Your life, your ministry, your efforts, they all mattered. And the signs that I'm sharing are evidences. They are proofs that God is at work, that I am the Messiah, that the kingdom of God is going to win in the end. I mean, don't you just love it when God gives you the grace to see that he's at work? We need that, don't we? You know, I talked about a series ago in the Harvest series that everybody loves to see the harvest. Not everybody loves to do the work of planting. But the thing is you need to see the work of the harvest every once in a while, don't you? Because that's what keeps you going. You wonder, like, you know, this person that I've invested in and their life's kind of a train wreck, do I keep doing this or not? And then all of a sudden you see this flicker of hope. You see a little bit of a change in them, and you go, okay, I can do this some more. Or maybe you go and you serve a little bit, and you wonder, am I really making a difference here? And then all of a sudden, you hear a story of somebody's life has changed because in some small way you've impacted them. You go, okay, I'm going to keep going. When we can see God at work, when we can see just a little bit of fruit, it gives us the hope to keep going. It's the kingdom of God in flesh and blood, and it's like Jesus said, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Jesus is saying, don't quit. Every sign, every promise from the book of Isaiah is coming to pass. Do you matter? You bet you matter. You've prepared the way. And we've been learning during this Advent season that Advent has these two sides, Jesus' birth and Jesus' return, and both show us that God has become flesh and blood. And that's what the incarnation is all about, God becoming flesh and blood, that love takes on a body, that hope has hands and feet, that God comes and moves into our neighborhood and lives among us and understands our experience of human life. And when we ask these questions like, do I matter? God can come alongside and say, I felt that way too, and yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I think part of what Christmas and the incarnation, it also shows God's desire for us to become flesh and blood instruments of God's love to other people. See, that's the piece that we miss. We get so fixated upon this manger. We go, oh, 8 pounds, 6 ounce, baby Jesus. But it's bigger than that. The incarnation isn't just about God coming to dwell in one person. The incarnation is about God coming to dwell in all people. All of us. I mean, the gospel is so simple, right? God gave us himself so we wouldn't perish but have eternal life. The key word is that word gave. And in giving himself to us, we can give ourselves to other people. In becoming a flesh and blood reminder of God's love to us, we can become flesh and blood reminders of God's love to other people. When we follow Jesus, God's Spirit fills us, so we become flesh and blood instruments of God's love to other people. This is what John did. This is what we are called to do. But sometimes there's a cost, isn't there? And that's the part that's not fun. John's experiencing it, and that's why John's disciples come to Jesus, and he gives them this beautiful gift. Jesus says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Don't quit. Don't quit. You know how far they brought that message, don't quit? I mean, I always like Cliff Notes. Did you all like Cliff Notes in school? I mean, just give me the Cliff Notes. Forget the book. You can summarize the whole thing in two words. Don't quit. You know how long they brought that message to get it to John? 200 miles. And there weren't any Subarus in that day. to drive through the snow. 200 miles. They brought that message from Jesus back to John. John was located just near the Dead Sea in one of Herod's fortresses. Jesus was 100 miles north in Galilee. Unbelievable. So they got to go 100 miles from where John is in the prison up to see Jesus, 100 miles back to bring the message to John, 200 miles on foot to bring that message. Don't quit back. Don't fall away. Keep going. Keep trusting. John wanted out, and I'm sure he wanted judgment. I bet he wanted Herod's head on a platter. Wouldn't you? Amen. Well, I wouldn't want that. That's not very kind or holy. Yeah, you would. You'd be like, come on, God, kill him. Of course you would. Let me invite our worship team to come back. You know you prayed that kind of stuff before. Come on, call down that fire stuff. But it didn't come to pass. He just got a simple message. Don't quit. Don't fall away. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? You get tired. Or you get frustrated. Or you wonder, do I matter? You wonder, do my efforts matter? You wonder, did I miss the call? Have I missed my purpose? And maybe you even feel like you're stuck in a prison. There may not be an exotic dancer and a crazy king who's part of your story. But I guarantee you felt like this. And in that moment when you doubt and wonder, do I matter? You'll find that at just the right time, Jesus will reassure you, don't fall away. Don't quit. Oh God, we give you thanks and praise that in those moments where we feel like we're stuck in a prison, you bring us good news and encouragement that hope is on the way. And so God, today where each one of us might be struggling, places that we feel doubt or discouragement or shame or guilt, oh Lord, we pray that you would liberate us. We turn from sin, we turn from discouragement, and we turn towards you to bring us hope. And Jesus, we thank you that in this season of hope, you come bearing it just for us. Grant us your grace. Fill our hearts. May we be filled with your Spirit today. And we pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus, the one who was and is to come. Amen. Please have a seat. You know, I've called this teaching series, I'll Be Home for Christmas, for a simple reason. Much like we've been hearing this far, part of the joy of the season is that, you know, Jesus comes at Christmas. He makes his home here among us, but also Jesus is going to return. And we're called to bring that hope to other people as we wait for his return. That word of encouragement, bringing hope to other people, is one of the most desperately needed things in our culture today. Desperately needed. And that, if when we do that, it makes Christmas not just a past event, but a present and a future event. See, and that's what incarnation is all about. Jesus becoming flesh and blood isn't just a then reality. It's a now and will come reality. That's why it's called good news. And when John is sitting in prison wondering, did I matter? Jesus sends him good news. He sends him encouragement. In fact, if we take it a little bit deeper, it says this, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? What is that all about? Well, it's a reference to Herod, the king. All of his kings, or all of his coins, the king's coins, were minted with reeds swaying in the wind. If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Again, reference to Herod. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I tell you, more than a prophet. In fact, he goes on to say that there's nobody born of women greater than John. Now, that had to be some encouragement. I mean, and if anything, for the guy who's going to take his head, he's saying, Herod's nobody compared to you. Wow. I mean, it's kind of the ancient way of saying, who's your daddy, right? Had to be encouraging. Had to be encouraging. Advent is the season, I think we could say, that incarnation speaks encouragement to other people. And if we're supposed to be living flesh and blood reminders of God's love to other people, how are you a living flesh and blood reminder of God's love to other people in your life and in your circles of influence? Because the work of encouragement is a holy work. It's a holy work. Keep going. He's coming. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't fall away. Have you all watched the news lately? That's good that you try not to. I mean, oh, geez. I mean, everything is just, the world needs encouragement because it's so damn negative all the time. Oh my gosh. If you're having a great day and you want to wreck it, just turn the news on. You'll be fine. Because all it is bad news. So how will you bring good news to other people? And when social media, all it cares to do is point out everybody's flaw or problem, how are you going to point out other people's beauty? I mean, encourage each other. Jesus did the work of encouragement. I mean, it's a spiritual gift, exhortation. It's in the Bible. Look, it's there, I promise. When people were stuck in their sin, Jesus didn't come along and say, hey, you horrible, rotten, dirty, nasty sinner, there's no hope for you. He healed them. He loved them. He encouraged them. And what did he say? Don't do it again. Go and sin no more. I love that. I mean, that's not hard, right? To go encourage somebody? Well, you know, it might take some of my time. Well, you got plenty of it. I mean, that's the good news, that Jesus Christ is for you and not against you. What if the church modeled that good news to other people, that we're for you and not against you? That we're here to love you and encourage you, not to hate on you and discourage you. That you're loved and valued, not tossed aside. I mean, one of the things that I love about playing hockey. I'm not in that picture. One of the things I loved about playing hockey was the pregame stuff. Right? You get in the locker room and you know, you get all pumped up for the big game and you're there to encourage one another and you felt like you were going to war with other guys around you. That's the best part about it. And then you get in this huddle right before the puck gets dropped at center ice. And I can't really tell you what you'd say because not all of it was entirely appropriate for church. But nonetheless, you all felt like you were on the same team. You had the same mission. You had the same purpose. And if somebody came after one of your guys out there, you were going to level them for all you were worth. So what's the message? Go level other people. No! The message is that people need encouragement at just the right time. And that's exactly what Jesus does here today. He gives encouragement at just the right time. Don't fall away. Don't quit. You matter. Your life matters. I don't know about you, but I think that's a message people need to hear today. It's the work that Christ came to do. And it's the work that we get to share in. The clock is ticking. And man, you watch the world events, and I'm totally on Ashley's side. It's not about predicting when, it's about being ready. But man, I'm telling you, we're getting closer. So how will you be doing the holy work of encouragement this week and preparing the way for Christ to come? That's what it's all about. We're going to have a time of response. Hopefully you received an ornament when you came in this morning. I would love for you during this next section of worship for you to write a word of encouragement that somebody needs, a word of hope, somebody you're praying for, just write a first name only, or write a one-word, a word of encouragement, or a one-word word of hope you're going to share with that person, and place it on the tree today. And then pray for that person, invite them to Christmas Eve service, and the staff will be praying with you as well. Let's pray together. Jesus, we give you thanks and praise that when we need it most, you're there to offer that encouraging word to us in flesh and blood. And God, I thank you that you give those words to us for one another. In a world that can seem very dark and cold, oh God, we pray that you would help us be love and warmth and light to other people. In a world that only points out sin, oh God, help us be bearers of forgiveness and the message of the forgiveness of sin that you offer. We make our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great question came in. Do you think John's question was rhetorical? That would be the question. Are you the one we're expecting, or should we be expecting somebody else? That he knew Jesus was the one, but asked the question for the benefit of those around him to turn their attention to Christ. I think that's certainly part of it. When you get to Matthew chapter 11, there's a shift that really begins to happen as Jesus begins to head towards Jerusalem and toward the cross. And so as John's ministry is decreasing and Jesus' ministry continues to increase, certainly John wants his disciples to begin to focus all their attention toward Christ. So that is very much part of it. I'm not sure it was rhetorical. I would imagine John had plenty of doubts sitting in prison, waiting and facing the end of his life. So, you know, being very much human, while I suspect John was kind of a 90-10 on Jesus being the Messiah, I do think there was a little bit of doubt in there, wondering, you know, was this worth it? And are you really the one that we should have been expecting? So really great question. If you want to talk about that more, please reach out via email or see me after worship today. I hope you have a great week. I hope I will see you at 12:30 because I am not a good gift wrapper. But I will be there to encourage you. How about that? Have a great week. Be the revolution.